ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। आरिराधीषु कृष्णं महिष्यातुल्यशीलया युक्तसांवत्सरं वीरो दधार द्वादशी व्रतम्। आरी ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। टू वर्शिप लॉर्ड कृष्णा, महाराज अम्बरीश अलोंग विथ हिज क्वीन हु वाज इक्वली क्वालिफाइड ऑब्जर्व द वाव ऑफ एकादशी एंड द्वादशी फॉर वन ईयर। It's a very apt verse for today being Dwadashi. So we observed Ekadashi yesterday. So herein. Purport. To observe Ekadashi Vrat and Dwadashi Vrat means to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those interested in advancing in Krishna consciousness must observe Ekadashi Vrat regularly. Maharaj Amrish's queen was equally as qualified as the king. Therefore, it was possible for Amrish Maharaj to engage his life in household affairs. In this regard, the word Tulya Shilaya is very significant. Unless a wife is equally as qualified as her husband, household affairs are very difficult to continue. Chanakya Pandit advises that a person in such a situation should immediately give up household life and become a vanaprast or sannyasi. Mata yasya grihe nasti bharya cha priya vadini aranyam tena gantavyam yatha aranyam tatha graham. A person who has no mother at home, whose wife is not agreeable with him, should immediately go away to the forest, because the human life is meant for spiritual advancement only. One's wife must be helpful in this endeavor. Otherwise, there is no need of household life. Of all the assembled devotees, so that I can speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam. Mukham karoti vachalam panghum langayate girim yad kripatamaham vande shri gurum dinatarini. Hare Krishna. So we are reading this most beautiful episode of Maharaj Amrish Maharaj offended by Durvasmani, this particular chapter. This is one of the most beautiful sections of Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes about how Krishna's protection is given in a devotee's life and an ideal behavior of a devotee in all circumstances. As we read in the previous few verses, how Amrish Maharaj led her whole life engaging all his mind and senses in the service of the Supreme Lord. And then further on we will continue with this narration, how Amrish Maharaj goes through a difficult time and how he responds and how ultimately Krishna offers the greatest protection to his devotees. And in this particular verse, to worship Lord Krishna, Maharaj Amrish, along with his queen, who was equally qualified, observed the vow of Ekadashi and Dwadashi for 1 year. So this is relevant because we just celebrated Ekadashi yesterday and today is Dwadashi, we broke the fast. So herein, of course, Srila Prabhupada very beautifully begins the purport, very aptly giving the really theme of what real Ekadashi or the meaning of Ekadashi Vrat is. Prabhupada comments, to observe Ekadashi Vrat and Dwadashi Vrat means to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada always bringing the essence right in the first line of the purport, that the purpose of Ekadashi Vrat is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, that's the whole idea of Krishna consciousness movement, is to act in ways to please Krishna. That's the goal of our life, that our acts, our words, our thoughts are in line with Krishna's wishes or Krishna's desire. Therefore, Prabhupada here is also saying that that those who are interested in advancing Krishna consciousness must observe the Ekadashi Vrat. The idea of the Ekadashi Vrat is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And yeah, there are different ways which we observe. Of course, Lord Chaitanya himself, when he was a student that time, one of the days, he asked his mother that, "I want to beg one charity from you, my mother." So Sachi Mata, as a loving mother, she said, "Nimai, whatever you ask, I will give you today." And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Nimai, tells Sachi Mata that, "Please do not eat grains on Ekadashi. That is my request." And Sachi Mata agreed. So in that beautiful purport also, Srila Prabhupada explains that one who wants to advance in Krishna consciousness must seriously follow the Ekadashi Vrat. And of course, Prabhupada quotes in that purport Sripad Jiva Goswami, who writes in his Bhakti Sandarbha, quoting from Skanda Purana, that one who eats grains on Ekadashi is condemned, and he becomes a murderer of his mother, father, or even the spiritual master. Jiva Goswami quotes Skanda Purana, that how important it is. And of course, we also know, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur also sings, that these tithis are the mother of devotion, Bhakti Janani. They are the mother of devotion when we follow it seriously. The whole idea is to please Krishna. As devotees, we know that many of the devotees chant extra rounds or do more service or minimize the bodily necessities so that we can spend more and more time with Krishna in any form, in worshipping Krishna in the form of deities more, or chanting more number of rounds, basically associating with Krishna more and minimizing the bodily necessities. That's what the Ekadashi Vrat, as Prabhupada is saying herein, is idea is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Somebody may do nirjal. One time His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj was explaining different ways devotees observe Ekadashi Vrat. Somebody may do nirjal vrat, who can do like complete abstaining from grains and even fruits and water, and completely absorbed in chanting and hearing about Krishna. Not that you are abstaining from grains but thinking about sense gratification or wasting your time in mundane gossip. So that's not nirjal. And then he was giving different, like, other option is you can do sajal, just drink water and remember Krishna, like the time you save in cooking food and other things, and you can do bhajan more. And then suffal, some devotees take just fruits and milk and are satisfied. And since the bodily necessities are minimized, more time is there. So basically the whole idea. And then anukalpa, where you eat non-grains, the fruits, vegetables, and Ekadashi, whatever, friendly grains, whatever, not grains, but Ekadashi friendly foods we take. The idea is to remember Krishna more. And that's what Prabhupada is also saying, that the observe Ekadashi and Dwadashi is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the other point which Srila Prabhupada is making in this beautiful purport is that it was possible for Amrish Maharaj to engage in his household life affairs so beautifully because his wife was Tulya Shil, who was equally as qualified as Maharaj Amrish. And then Prabhupada makes that if there is not favorable situation, quoting Chanakya Pandit, Prabhupada recommends that if the situations are not favorable at home, one should give up those attachments. Basically, that's just picking up this theme. That's the whole theme, is that if we give up anything that comes in our way of our devotional service, we have to give it up. Whether it is family life, job, or whatever activity or whatever attachment which comes on our path of progress or our path of attachment to Krishna, we have to give that. It is very important in a sadhaka's life also, certain situations we have to like accept by faith certain things, or we have to show a leap of faith to Krishna, and then Krishna will give realizations. We cannot demand from Krishna that, "Krishna, please, You first give me a taste and then I'll give up my material attachments. First give me the taste for the holy name and then my attachments will go. No, first we have to show our endeavor and give our attachments and then Krishna will give realization and then we can give more easily. That is, the idea is that we have to show our first endeavor by giving or trying to give our attachments and then Krishna will give realizations. We cannot demand Krishna that Krishna please give me realizations and then I'll, when I become self-realized or when I get taste for the holy name, then I will give up these lower attachments. No. We have to first try to give the lower attachments and then Krishna will reveal. That's what Srila Prabhupada is referring, that if the family life is an obstacle, one should be ready to give up and take the vanaprastha. So that is the basic theme that Srila Prabhupada is picking up in this purport, that pleasing Krishna and giving up any attachment to Krishna, any attachment to anything of this world to please the Supreme Lord, to give Krishna pleasure. And this same theme is very beautifully being highlighted in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, where the Krishna blesses the Brahmana's wife. That same beautiful theme is being presented herein. And we'll also see how this pastime is also related to the Ekadashi Vrat also. Of course, this is from the 23rd chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna and Balaram are there in Vrindavan forest with their cowherd friends. And the cowherd friends, they go out and ask Krishna and Balaram that, "Oh Krishna, oh Balaram, we are extremely hungry. We are harassed by hunger and you are the destroyer of all the demoniac forces. So please destroy this demon of hunger in our stomachs and please bring some or arrange for some prasad for us." That's, of course, the acharyas explain. The whole theme of Vrindavan or all the pastimes of Vrindavan is to give pleasure to Krishna. That's the basic or underlying stream in Sri Vrindavan Dham. The current of pleasing Krishna, as Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here, is the theme of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Even every blade of grass, every living entity, even the dust, is conscious of giving pleasure to Krishna. So herein also the cowherd friends, if we see the Acharya's commentaries, we study the lives of the cowherd friends, the gopis and all the pure devotees, the underlying theme is how we can give pleasure to Krishna. Apparently we may not be able to see that theme with our contaminated vision. We may think that they are hungry and they are asking for Krishna, but that's there. Prabhupada explains in the purport that this, or not, the Acharyas, Hridayananda Maharaj explains that this is the intimate loving friendship that they are asking Krishna to arrange for prasad. And they knew Krishna is hungry and Krishna will be more satisfied to have this food. And then Sukadeva Goswami describes that thus requested by the cowherd friends, the Krishna then spoke to the cowherd friends that, "My dear friends, please go to the sacrificial arena here nearby where a group of brahmanas who are performing the Vedic sacrifices. You must now go there. They are performing the Angiras sacrifice and you must go there and ask for food from charity." And then he says, yeah, "When you go there, my dear friends, simply request some food and on the name of Sri Balaramji." And beautiful verse Sukadeva Goswami describes that Krishna is saying, "Tatra gatva odanam gopa yachatasmad visarjita kirtayanto bhagavata areyasyamam chadhivam." It is saying, "Kirtayanto bhagavata," that you go and ask on my name or on Balaramji's name. Arya, that is the elder brother's name, kirtayanto bhagavato, that you ask in the name of God, or ask in name of my elder brother. That is the point. And then, of course, recently we were in the Punjab Yatra. I was just reading this episode recently, and then I was just thinking that the same theme, actually, that's asking, begging in the name of, that we were in the Padhyatra and doing Harinam Sankirtan. That's what Srila Prabhupada or Krishna is also saying, Kirtayanto Bhagavato, begging in the name of Krishna. Of course, giving Krishna and begging. So in this way, the cowherd friends, they were going and they went to the Brahmanas, they offered their obeisances, prostrated obeisances, fell down like a dandavat pranam, and then they glorified the Brahmanas that, oh Bhudev, you are the gods on the earth. We have come here because Balramji and Krishna, who are there nearby, they are hungry and they need some food. Please arrange for some food for them. And these cowherd boys, they were raised in like the cultured family, so they knew that Brahmanas might object. So they just started quoting that this is the proper time and proper place, and if quoting the Vedic scripture that one who is hungry is like should be given food, so please grant us some food for Krishna and Balaram. So in this way they were like offering their yachana, as Shukadeva Goswami said, that Bhagavat yachana. And unfortunately, the response of the Brahmanas, they didn't even pay any attention, they didn't even respond to their request. Itite Bhagavat yachanam shrinavato apina shushushu. They heard, but they didn't hear. They just completely neglected. Shudra asha bhuri karmana. The next line, Shukadeva Goswami explains what was the reason they were unable to hear the Bhagavat yachana, the request of the devotees of the Lord. Because Shudra asha, and that's, yeah, because they were full of petty desires, and bhuri karmana, entangled in elaborate ritualistic activities. That is Shukadeva Goswami's verdict, that they were, because they were engaged in those elaborate sacrifices, desiring some heavenly pleasures or some pleasures of this world, they were completely ignoring the Bhagavat yachana. Actually, of course, we all have experience when we go out for preaching, or when we were preached, we were engaged in so many things, in so many materialistic goals, desiring to get good education, good wealth, good wife, good family. We were completely absorbed in those thoughts, that when a preacher would come, it was very, very difficult to hear what they are saying because of the shudra asha, or petty, as the acharyas translated, full of petty desires, small, insignificant desires, which keep us away from actually hearing the message of the devotees. Even as practicing sadhakas, we have certain desires, certain attachments, which hinder us from fully hearing or absorbing the message of Bhagavatas, the devotees of the Supreme Lord. That's why we are unable to serve or fully follow the message of the devotees. And then Shukadeva Goswami says, Balishah Vriddhamaninah. They were presuming themselves to be wise men, but actually they were very childish. Because all these material things which one can aspire for are ultimately very, very temporary. Even in as sadhakas, we can see, even the path of practicing sadhana bhakti, certain times we get attached to the temporary fruits which we get out of our devotional service, some position, some respect, or some fame, or all these attachments, or some followers, or some wealth, some facilities. These are there, and one may start thinking that this is the basically the, one may get just caught up in these kshudra ashas, in these desires that, okay, now I have got this, and seek for satisfaction in those things. Of course, Krishna is very, very kind. He pulls the devotee out and puts him in difficult situations so that he takes shelter in the holy name. That is Krishna's amazing mercy. He puts difficulty in devotee's life in difficulty so that devotee takes shelter of his holy names or his Bhagavat Katha. That is the special mercy. And we will see how Krishna will purify these Brahmanas also. So with this, they, cowherd friends, they wait for some time, and then being unheard, they just completely just go back. And tell Krishna and give the report that we tried, but there was no response, so what should we do? Of course, Krishna smiles, and the acharyas explain that Krishna is teaching that if somebody goes for begging, he should be ready for being neglected or rejected. So that's part of the begging, if somebody goes. Then Krishna says that now, my dear friends, you go to the Brahman Patnis who are there in their homes, and they have arranged wonderful prasadam and bhoga for the sacrifice. Please go and tell them that Krishna and Balaram are there in the nearby forest and they want some food, and they will happily come and offer their food. And of course, Krishna, the acharyas explained, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, that Krishna did not have the cowherd boys tell the Brahman Patnis that they are hungry, because Krishna knew that the Brahman Patnis love him so much that if they come to know that Krishna is hungry, they'll feel pain. So that you should just go and tell that we need some food. And then the cowherd friends, they go offer obeisances that, my dear cowherd Brahmana ladies, Krishna and Balaram are there in the nearby forest and they need some food. And in contrast to the response of our Brahmanas, the Brahman ladies, they were enlivened. They were always eager to see Krishna, and their minds were enchanted by the descriptions of Krishna which they had heard from the cowherd ladies of Vrindavan who would come, or the flower sellers who would come from Vrindavan to them. And they had heard about Krishna a lot, and they had that eagerness to see Krishna. So when they heard about heard that Krishna and Balaram are nearby, they were ready to give everything, their whole bhoga, for Krishna and Balaram's pleasure. And taking along in the large vessels which were there, and with all different varieties of bhoga which was prepared, the prasad for the yajna, the ladies went forth to meet the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. As Shukadeva Goswami gives a beautiful example, just as a river flows towards the sea. Some devotees were sharing this, their realizations. We were on the bank of Ganges in Rishikesh also. There, some devotees were sharing the beautiful flow of Ganges which is flowing, as Prabhupada or Shukadeva Goswami is saying, as Ganges or the river flows towards the sea, unobstructed. So many things may happen on the bank. So many quarrels, so many things you may see on the bank which are happening. But one who is fixed on his goal is completely flowing towards their beloved. They were flowing towards their beloved, unobstructed by any obstacle. That's what our aspiration as sadhaka is. That whatever obstacles, whatever difficulties may come, if we are fixed on our goal, we can just completely bypass them, or just flow ahead to meet the Supreme Lord. Of course, the obstacles which they had to go through, as we were reading in this purport, that they gave up one should give up one's family if that becomes an obstacle. So some same thing here. While they were going, they were stopped by their husbands, their brothers, their father-in-laws, their mother-in-laws, and they're all their relatives. But they were completely able to give up all those attachments and their chastity to go and meet Krishna. And Shukadeva Goswami beautifully explains the reason why they were able to do so. Nishidyamana patibhir bhratribhir bandhubhir suta bhagavati uttamashloke dhirgashruta dhritashaya. That he says that nishadyamana, that they were stopped by patibi, by their husbands, by their brothers, the bandhubi, their relatives, sutaha, by their own sons. And the reason they were able to overcome these obstacles, and the reason we can overcome those obstacles which come on our path, Shukadeva Goswami is saying, bhagavati uttama shloke dhirga shruta dhrit ashaya. That they were bhagavati uttama shloke. For a dhirga shruta, because of hearing for a long time. And the translation says that although their husbands, brothers, sons and other relatives tried to forbid them from going, their hope of seeing Krishna, cultivated by extensive hearing of his transcendental qualities, won out. So that is the beauty of process by hearing, simply by hearing about Krishna's qualities, his pastimes, his glorious pastimes or activities and qualities, one get the strength to overcome those obstacles which come in one's path of devotional service. As dhirgha shruta, they were cultivated by extensive hearing. That's the process. By hearing and constantly chanting the names of God, then we get purified. We get that strength to overcome those difficulties and obstacles which come on our path. And what was the result of their giving up these attachments? As we were discussing earlier, so when we have to give up our attachments, and then Krishna will unfold beautiful realizations. The first step we have to show. And then, of course, as we see, they gave up their attachments, they did their part, and then Krishna unfolded a most beautiful reality, a most beautiful darshan to them, as Srimad Bhagavatam describes. Along the river Chamuna, within a garden of Ashoka, of buds of Ashoka trees, they caught the sight of Krishna strolling along in the company of cohort boyfriends with Sri Balaramji. His complexion was dark blue, his garments golden, wearing a peacock feather decorated with colored minerals, springs of flower buds, and a garland of forest flowers and leaves. He was dressed like a dramatic dancer. He rested one hand upon the shoulder of a friend, with the other he twirled a lotus. Lilies decorated his ears. His hair hung down over his cheeks, and his lotus face was smiling. So this is the result, the vision of the Supreme, the beautiful form of the Supreme Lord. When one is ready to give up his attachments for the Krishna's service, that is what awaits each one of us, if we are ready to give up our attachments, our obstacles on the path of devotional service. The beautiful smiling face of Sri Gopinath. And then, another beautiful verse, Shukadeva Goswami describes that these ladies, they were very beautifully decorated, and their ears specifically, they had been decorated by, what is that? For a long time, these Brahmana ladies had heard about Krishna, their beloved, and his glories had become the constant ornament of their ears. This is the real ornament of the ears. Now, people are very much fascinated to having different ornaments, some bali or different earrings here, different parts of their ear. But Bhagavatam describes the real ornament of the ears is to constantly hearing about the glories of the Lord, chanting the, hearing about the names of the Supreme Lord. That is the real ornament. If somebody wants to wear those ornaments in their ears, this is the real ornament. And through their eyes, they were now embracing Krishna within their hearts. And finally, their long cherished desire to see Krishna was being fulfilled. Lord Krishna, Bhagavatam described, who witnesses the thoughts of all creatures, understood how these ladies had abandoned all worldly hopes and come with simply to serve him. And Shukadeva Goswami describes, Vigya Akhila Drig, that Krishna is Akhila Drig. He knows Vigya, he knows what a sadhaka is going through or what is going in everyone's heart. Sometimes, as we were discussing, I think some time back, I think Damodar Pu, when he was discussing about how Krishna is the best master, he was explaining that the masters of this world, sometimes they are unable to see the sacrifice which the servant is doing. But Krishna is not like that type of a master. He knows what a sadhaka is going through or what a devotee is going through. His akhila drik. He knows what a devotee is. Each and every devotee, as Paramatma is sitting in our hearts, and he knows what each and every one of us is going through. And then accordingly, he puts us in those particular situations where we seek shelter in him. Krishna puts us in such situations where we take shelter of him completely. That was point. And then, of course, how Krishna receives these Brahman ladies very beautifully. Swagatam vo Mahabhaga, asayatam karavam kim, Yanno didrikshaya prapta upapannam idam hiva. Krishna said, "Welcome, O most fortunate ladies. Please sit down and make yourself comfortable. What can I do for you? That you have come here to see me is most appropriate." That's the beautiful reciprocation with, we see how Krishna receives. Apparently they had given up all their family life, their chastity, which was morally speaking or from the Vedic society point of view, which was absolutely inappropriate. But here Krishna is saying upapannam, as it is translated, it is most befitting, most appropriate. That is Krishna's recognition. That's what we are looking for, to be recognized by Krishna or his representatives. Krishna is saying, Mahabhaga, you are greatly fortunate that you have come here. You have come here, that's why you are most fortunate. And that is, the society may reject us, may not understand us, but if Krishna or his representatives accept us, that is what will make us most fortunate, Mahabhaga. We may be unfortunate in the eyes of the society, but if Krishna accepts us or his representatives accept us, that is Mahabhaga, the great fortune, as Krishna is saying. Swagatam, you are most welcome, my dear ladies, you have come here. And then Krishna glorifies that certainly great personalities who can see their true interest, such personalities render unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service directly unto me. And you have done that. Therefore, you are most glorious. In that way, Krishna glorifies their devotional service. And then Krishna... accepts their wonderful offerings. And then Krishna says, Krishna's ways of reciprocating are inconceivable. So Krishna says, so now you have given up your everything, you have brought this bhoga, this prasadam, very fine, now you can go back to your husbands, the learned brahmanas, and do your household duties. Brahman patnis, they were like surprised that we have given up everything. We have given our husbands, our like sons, our families, our chastity, everything, and come here. And now who will accept us? And you are also saying, go back. So Krishna says, so how we will stay here? We want to please allow us to be here as your maidservants in the forest. We will just be happy carrying upon our heads the garlands of tulsi leaves, which may you may trample neglectfully while walking in the forest. Of course, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives an elaborate conversation between the gopis and Krishna. What might have occurred, that Krishna would have said that you gopis are Brahman patnis, very respected in the society, so how can I accept you as my maidservants? And of course, the gopis reply that we are ready to be here in the forest. You need not take us to the village, and we may don't want to embarrass you, but you can just be here in the forest. We can just be here and assist or serve you and the gopis who are your maidservants in the village. And of course, Krishna then finally says that, my dear gopis, for you to remain in my bodily association would certainly not please people in this world. And nor it would be best way for you to increase your love for me. Rather, you should fix your mind on me, and very soon you will achieve me. That is Krishna's beauty. Krishna in all circumstances wants to increase the love of his devotees. So herein also he is saying that Krishna is personally saying that your staying here will not be the best way for you to increase your love for me. I want to increase your love more for me. And rather, you should fix your minds on me, and very soon you will achieve me. And then in the next, Krishna gives the process how they can increase his how they can increase their love for him. Krishna says, Shranva Shranva Darshana Dhyana Mai Bhavo Anukirtanat Natat Natatha Sanikarshena Pratiyut Tato Grahan. It is by hearing Shranvanat about me, Darshanat, seeing my deity form, Dhyanan, meditating upon me, Mai Bhavo Anukirtanat, and chanting my names and glories, that love for me develops, and not by physical proximity. Na tatha sannikarshena. Therefore, please go back to your home. That is Krishna's way of dealing with his pure devotees. He wants to see more love being increased every moment. How Krishna's, if Krishna knows how their love would be increased, if he would have thought if that their staying would increase their love, then Krishna would have allowed. The same thing with the gopis. Krishna also said the gopis go back, but the gopis said, no, we want to enjoy with you the ras, and Krishna allowed. And then the acharyas explained here in the purport that the wives of the brahmanas obeyed Krishna's order and returned, whereas the gopis, they remained in the forest to dance with him in the rasa leela. And both the gopis and the brahmanas' wives achieved pure love of God. So the idea is following Krishna's wish or acting as per Krishna's desire. Herein Krishna wants them to remember him by hearing about him, by seeing his deity form, by chanting his names and glorifying him, and that will develop love. So Krishna himself is giving them the process how they can increase. Similarly, in our own lives also as sadhakas, Krishna orchestrates situations which are best for our Krishna consciousness or best for our increasing our love for him. Sometimes, of course, it's difficult to see how Krishna is like arranging the situations. But the only way we have, whether we understand or not, the only way is to fold our hands, offer obeisances, and accept it as Krishna's mercy. Whether we accept it as Krishna's mercy or not, we have to go through those situations which we are put up in. So it's how we take those situations. They could have also just said, no, 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 we cannot go back. How will our fathers or our husbands react to the situation? So we won't go back. No, but Krishna wants them to hear, chant, and remember them in separation. So they were ready to do that. That's for us also. If Krishna puts in certain situations, apparently difficult, if we also fold our hands and pray. And then of course Krishna tells them that I will make sure that your husbands and their family members accept you. And even the demigods will vouch for your purity and will accept. Even the demigods will express their approval of your deeds. And then in this way, the Brahmin Patnis come back to their husbands and the Brahmanas when they see their wives exhibiting beautiful symptoms of ecstasy, love of God, their eyes opened and they realize their mistake, that they were being completely absorbed in these yajna, but they forgot the purpose of yajna, to please Krishna. To hell with our threefold birth, our vows of celibacy, our extensive learning, to hell with our aristocratic background and our expertise in the rituals of sacrifice. These are all condemned because we are inimical to the transcendental personality of Godhead. That was their regret, that we were engaging in all these things, but we've missed the essence, that pleasing Krishna. The illusory potency of the Supreme Lord certainly bewilders even the great mystic, what to speak of us. As Brahmanas, we were supposed to be the spiritual masters of all classes, yet we have been bewildered about our own real interest. And then, of course, finally, they accept their wives as their spiritual masters. And they were astonished to see their loving devotion of their wives for Krishna. not realizing that had developed because of hearing and chanting about the Lord in the association of the devotees of Vrindavan who would come and speak about Krishna. And then, of course, the Brahmanas also offer their obeisances to the Supreme Lord Krishna, but then they also wanted to get the blessings of the Supreme Lord, so they were thinking whether to go and meet Krishna in the forest. But the Bhagavatam describes, Sukadeva Goswami describes that, but being afraid of King Kams, they did not dare to go to Braj Bhumi. So that is the situation here, that they wanted to go to Braj and surrender, but they were not fully purified. They were still afraid of Kamsa, that Kamsa would kill them if they would go and meet Krishna and Balaram. Yeah, Prabhupada in the Acharya's comment that the Brahmanas were not on such an advanced platform of Krishna consciousness, and thus overcome by fear of Kams, could not see the Lord face to face. That's a sadhaka's life. Certain attachments, certain fears always keep hindering us from seeing Krishna, receiving the full mercy of the Supreme Lord. Even though they were closely associating with the Brahman Patnis, by their association they got purified, but still not, since they were not fully receptive, their patra was not fully receptive, they couldn't get full purification to receive, as Shukadeva Goswami previously explains, because of kshudra asha, petty material desires, the fear of death, enjoyment in the heavenly planets, or some position, or some fame, or some comfortable situation. So these factors prevents us from fully hearing the Bhagavati Yachana, the request, the plea of the devotees. That's how this beautiful episode ends. And that's what Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport, that anything which comes, because human life is meant for spiritual advancement, only one's wife must be helpful in this endeavor, or any other attachment. Otherwise, there is no need of household life or any other attachment in this world. If that comes in our path to surrender to Krishna, we must give up. Of course, also before that, Prabhupada also explains about the Ekadashi Vrat. This one thing which I forgot to mention also, which Prabhupada explains that in that purport of Sachi Mata, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nimai tells Sachi Mata to follow Ekadashi Vrata. Prabhupada also explains that one should offer grains to the lordships, to Vishnu, on the day of Ekadashi, but one should not accept grains even if it is Mahaprasad of the Supreme Lord. One can just save it for the next day, but one should not even accept Mahaprasad, even grains Mahaprasad. So very strictly Prabhupada explains that those who are serious should take Krishna consciousness, advancing in Krishna consciousness, must seriously follow this vow of Ekadashi. And also another beautiful episode in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, where also, of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is small Nimai. We know he was there, and one day he was crying, and everyone's trying to please or to make him stop crying. And devotees would usually chant, and Krishna and Nimai, little Gaurasundar, would become quiet and become happy. And this time he was crying, and then everyone asking. And then Nimai said that, I want to eat the feast which is cooked in the house of Hiranya and Jagdish Pandit's house. And that day happened to be Ekadashi. And Lord Chaitanya, being the Supreme Personality, he could understand that they had prepared a special offering for their Vishnu Murti in their house, and he wanted to accept their devotion. And so Jagannath Mishra, he sends, or he goes and they brings this wonderful feast for Nimai, and he accepts and distributes that prasad. And of course, I think the acharyas explain that these Jagdish Pandit and Hiranya Pandit, they were none other than these Brahman Patnis who were there, and Krishna wanted, or Nimai wanted, to accept their devotion on the day of Ekadashi. So that is also beautiful leela which Nimai performed. So just, I'd like to conclude with this. praying to all the devotees that we also can strictly follow the vow of Ekadashi, that is to please the Supreme Lord in all circumstances. Hare Krishna. Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Shri Prabhupada Ki, Shri Ekadashi Vrat Ki. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.